It's time for another episode of Minor Revelations with Drew Drogi. Hi there. Oh gosh, I'm so excited. Today on the show, I have my friends Kate Mines and Paul Witten, who have a web series called Dropping the Soap, and we will get to that later. But it's all about behind the scenes of a soap opera, which made me think, what should I talk about for an intro? And they're usually not at all connected to my guests. But I thought, oh, of course, behind the scenes at a soap opera, I think of one of my favorite movies of all time, which is, of course, Soap Dish, which I'm going to be, which I'm on the show on Logo called Cocktails and Classics, where we watch movies and drink a lot, and I pour the drinks, and it's a lot of fun. Michael Urie hosts it, who's obviously a goddamn delight and national treasure. And Soap Dish is one of the movies that we're doing, so that will probably be on, or by the time this podcast is has launched or dropped or whatever you want to call it. So if you haven't seen Soap Dish, number one, get woke. Number two, you know, watch it again on Cocktails and Classics. But Soap Dish makes me think of the summer when it came out, which I think was the summer after eighth grade. And I spent, my brother and I spent a week, but it seemed like all summer, that summer, with my grandparents, who were my dad's parents, who are, have both died by now. But, they took us to two movies that week. It was this interminable, insane, bizarre, you know, Lutheran Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf by way of Charlotte, North Carolina, you know, through the eyes of an eighth grader. But we went and saw Soap Dish, which my grandfather insisted was called Soup Dish. We don't know why, but he argued with us. Also, when we sat through the movie and were laughing, we were scolded because this was not supposed to be funny. My grandmother loved soap operas and she didn't like them disrespected like this. So needless to say, they didn't get it. But it's still one of my favorite movies. The other movie that we watched, I remember that week, was What About Bob? But my grandfather also insisted that that one was called Where's Bob? Because I remember him saying, he's lost, so it's called Where's Bob? His name was Ralph, and he wore a giant tiger's eye ring and grumbled a lot. And my grandmother's name was Dot, and they lived in a condo in Charlotte, North Carolina. And they were very stern, humorless, yet Lutherans. And they maintained a day-drunk dullness and a general displeasure towards all things. They were wonderful. You went into their condo, and it smelled like Aramis and beef broth. You know, it just was thick, vaguely sweet, old masculine. Like, what's happened here? Like a lot of verbal battles have been fought and lost in this condo. My grandfather sold Lazy Boy chairs, which is what he made my father do. My father was given no choice but to sell Lazy Boy chairs. My father wanted to be an orthodontist, but Ralph thought that was a fad, thought that being an orthodontist would go away, and there was no money to be had in that job, so he had to sell Lazy Boy chairs. So my dad was miserable as a furniture salesman. He got good at it, and he seemed to have passion at it, but like he didn't want to do that with his life. And God love my dad for telling me and my brother that we could do whatever we wanted to with our lives. He was like, that was one thing. He was like, I will never tell you what to do with your life, which thank you, Dad, because that I can't imagine selling just, you know, recliners and ottomans and just weird leather buttoned giant couches. Yes, my grandmother was always drinking Rob Roy's. So every time I hear Rob Roy, I think of Dot. And it was, oh my God, the food. It was always like ham loaf and she drank iced coffee, which of course now we all love and know, but it was 80s iced coffee. So that was just like boil a pot of Senka and pour it over ice. And it's just vaguely orange and it's just bitter. Like they loved anything like salty and filling and bitter. And I remember at a very young age, we would always drink there because they loved alcohol and they were just always asking, you must have been sick if you weren't drinking at all hours of the day. Drink. And so I remember I would always drink white Zinfandel. I would be like 13 and I took no pleasure in it. I loved drinking and I loved underage drinking for sure. But when I was at their house, it was an assignment and I drank this white Zinfandel that was horrible, like just would give you lockjaw, and it was just so sweet. And it was always in like a clouded crystal goblet. And my parents, who both were big drinkers had to pretend to drink more. So because they would, when they would just want water, they were seeing, you know, they were sick or there was something wrong with them or they were mad about something, according to Ralph and Dot. So my dad had to make mocktails for my mom, and they had to just, you know, doctor up glasses of water and make them look like they were fun water. Also, because they were into furniture and they were very clean, despite their filthy, clouded brains, they were clean people. So all of the furniture was spotless and untouched, and it was festooned with these like peach foam accents. It was very peach in there. So my memories of that were that. Naps were forbidden. If you wanted to take a nap, you were weak. You weren't drinking and screaming with the rest of the family. What's wrong with you? And they always wanted to take us to this country club that was right next door to their condo. And they were members of this country club, and it had the worst food on the planet. They just loved being called by their names. They loved getting treated like, you know, royalty from another time. It was all just like pageantry of just like they would go in and it would be like, oh, Mr. Drogi, how are you? Also, we could usually go there on Sundays after church. And North Carolina law was that the blue laws were that you could only serve alcohol after 1 p.m. And, you know, church was at 11. We'd be out at noon. And that time between noon and 1 was murder, because every 5 minutes, my grandfather and grandmother would be screaming at the help. Is it 1 o'clock yet? When is it 1? We're thirsty. And then they just would drink and take no visible pleasure from it. It was just like, oh, more of this. But that food at the country club, it was always like some sort of like gelled fish with fried squash or like room temperature meatloaf. Or one time I remember I ordered prosciutto and melon. And I was very young, but you know, when the homosexual has to order something that sounds a little bit cosmopolitan, so I'm like, oh, prosciutto and melon. And the prosciutto, which I love to this day, I love prosciutto, and I'd had it before because I'm not a garbage bag, but the prosciutto at this country club tasted like people. I remember saying to my grandparents, this tastes like human flesh. And they had no reaction whatsoever. Like, I mean, it was just like, your point? It was so, yes, I don't know what they had done to that ham to make it taste like what I thought people would taste like. And I still remember what it tasted like. It was like I put my own hand in my mouth and just started devouring it. There was one time when we stayed with them when we were 9, and I was probably 9 and my brother was 7, and we had to play bridge with them or parcheesi or something really complicated card game. And they would just have fistfuls of nuts. They always had so many snacks out on this giant table, and it was all like dimly lit. Like everything was like just lascivious and insidious. Like we're just committing crimes over these card games, and they would grab these handfuls of peanuts and they'd be falling out of their claws, and there'd be salt hanging off and oil and a giant cheese ball with pimentos, you know, gasping for air to come out. And it was horrifying. And there was one time when we were children playing some board game, and my brother and I got silly about something because we're children. And I remember my grandfather just smacking his hands together, and nuts and salt and oil and rage went everywhere. And he was like, put away the damn cards. And my brother and I just, I mean, we were probably not safe in that situation because we were being screamed at and overlooked by these aging drunks. But we were fine. We just laughed the whole time. We just thought it was so funny. Like, it just was hilarious to us. And we'd go run and play outside. And it just kind of didn't land on us. Like, this is a bad situation. Nope, not at all. And my grandmother had this giant stand, a display case of all these Royal Dalton dolls, those collectible ceramic. It's always like women in gowns, and they're always in some sort of movement. It's always like, oh, she's being whisked off the dance floor onto the, the veranda or something. And they were always in these big gowns. And I used to just stare into that for hours in my memory, which was probably, you know, seconds, but it's a child's memory. So it sounds better that it was for hours. I was this lost child with eating, you know, human flesh and looking at these women. And I just looked at these, I just remember looking at these women and just like dreaming of a better life for them. Like they're just stuck in this cabinet, you know, that it's getting cleaned every day, but they're not, you know, experiencing life. They don't get to go out. They don't get to do anything. You know, and I dreamed of a life for myself outside of all of that, which I've gotten, but I definitely want to take a moment to thank my grandparents because it was a wonderful, weird, bizarre time every time I went over to my dad's parents. My mom's parents are both still alive and they are lovely and they're full of, they're just the most pure, honest. I talk about them a lot on here because I love them and they're a lot less fun to talk about because they're not insane. But thank you for the insanity. And, you know, we were all right. After all that, we were all right. I'm sitting here. Hi, guys. I don't know what's wrong. I'm hiccuping already. I'm sitting here with the lovely and delightful Kate Mines and Paul Whitten. Hi, guys.
Hi. Hi, Drew.
How are y'all?
Good. Okay. How are you?
All right. You've had a day. You've had a day, Paul.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I was hiking, and I got in my car, and on my way over here, my tire blew out.
Oh, my God. Wait, so after you were hiking?
Yeah, I had to throw in that I was hiking because I ate everything in my house the night before. So I basically
had you were hiking and then your tire blew out. I'm like, wait a minute. So while you were hiking.
There's no connection. Don't look for it. It's just me feeling so disgusting and such like a pig.
I woke up this morning and I was making healthy choices and then everything set on fire. No, that's such a bummer. So then what did you have to do? You had to...
Well, I called a tire company that I have used before, and they're about 2 or 3 miles away from where I was at. But my car, it was on the rim.
Oh,
and I called and said, "Can I drive 2 or 3 miles to get you?" They're like,
No.
So I pulled into a gas station, and they helped me out immediately. Okay.
Do you have AAA?
I don't. I
you found that I kept. AAA.
You know
you
what?
Know,
I'm
going to
disagree
AAA,
because. Oh, yes, and.
Okay. No. I want to hear that you don't like AAA.
No, because I think they're wonderful. I've just never used them, and I kept paying for years and years and years, and I really have never used it.
Oh, that's so. Oh, well, it's like $100 a year, right?
But you can sign up on the side of the road. So if something happens, you can sign up in that moment and they'll come and get you. Because
right.
I paid for years and never used it.
I'd rather test my friendships and say, you know, I'm stranded.
Well, in LA,
do
you think anyone in Los Angeles knows how to help?
Guess who did not come? Remember when it was pouring down rain? I had just worked out at that Studio City, whatever. And I called you and I said my battery was out. And Paul's like, call Mandy. I don't know.
Call Mandy.
Not,
I don't know.
That is not true. I didn't have jumper cables.
But you also had to mention that you were working out too, Kate. So I love
that's
that
right,
as well. I was working out. I was hiking. We're
I
very
hate
good.
Both of us already.
Well, just to be clear, I went to Wendy's on the way here and Paul went to McDonald's.
And I went to McDonald's.
Good for you.
Because I'm a fucking monster. Ooh, can we curse on here? Yeah.
Oh my God, please. Okay. On my show? I would love it. I was like, Kate, I'm going to talk to you a minute about your mouth.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Exactly.
No, I have actually done a lot of shows and I'm always surprised when they go, no profanity on the show. And you're like,
what is this?
What is this, 1981? Like, why can you not, like...
In Russia?
Exactly. Like, I love all the words in our vocabulary and, you know, I can't imagine not being able to say those. But I hate adult shit like that. Like, I hate anything...
Ugh.
I also never plan my life for anything to go wrong. Like, I schedule my life so tightly that I don't ever think, like, oh, what if this thing happens? It's just going to happen. It's a matter of time before a tire is going to blow out or, you know, you're out of gas or whatever. And I just, it's never convenient.
Like, I also never budget for it, right? You're like, oh my God, I'm coming in so great this month. And then that happens. And you're like, I don't have an extra $300.
I don't budget.
Exactly. Right. And I don't budget either. I don't know how you do it.
Well, I meant, you know, I share money with my husband, so it's a little more complicated when you're having to share money.
Yeah.
And I'm a full-time actor, so I don't know where my money is coming from.
Always. Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I never know from month to month. I'll have months that it's great, and then other months I'm like, I didn't make a dollar.
Right. You're
month.
Like, I have not made a single dollar in 3 months or whatever.
Right. Right. Yeah. And so you just kind of have to, like, figure it away. I mean, I kind of try to stash it away every now and then when I can, but I just don't ever know how to do that.
Where do you
I have large penny jars.
Oh.
Underneath various appliances.
No, but seriously, where is it?
Oh, Paul, stop. Do you need $300? Do you need a tire?
I just had to get a new tire.
So is your car getting fixed right now, or did it already get fixed?
This guy was a ninja, and I drove in, and I actually had gone to him years ago, and it was in Studio City, and he was awesome. He's like, I can get it done in 10 minutes. I have a used tire. He only had one that would fit the Prius.
Oh my God.
Is it that gas station at Coldwater and Ventura?
Coral Canyon Ventura. Yeah, okay. Across from where I used to.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things that I really, really loathe it. I don't know how people,
panic. I texted Kate and I was like, okay, tire just blew.
He was like, I'm not going to make it.
Not sure I'm going to make it. You know, but of course I was able to do it.
Well, if you cancel on me once, the hike, forget
though.
It.
Yeah.
So don't burn that bridge, Drew Drogi. You are just on my podcast.
I've heard that about you.
Not in Burbank. I drive all the way to Burbank. I didn't have a tire blowout.
I'm having PTSD being here in Burbank.
I know. So you're from here?
Well, slow down. I'm not from here. I mean, I'm from Los Angeles, but I did go to Burbank High School.
Wow. How was that?
It was horrible, if I'm being honest. Is that bad to be that honest?
No, that's all I want.
I hated it.
Why? Why?
Well, because
I have no concept of what
I'm a card-carrying, barely homosexual. And
why are you barely a homosexual?
Well, because I don't like musicals and I hate Barbara Streisand.
Oh, I do too.
Is this my minor revelation?
It might very well be.
You like Vivian Leigh and you know.
Yeah, well, I'm not a monster. But
what about Barbara Streisand? We'll get back to high school as well, but I just want to unpack your Barbara Streisand feelings.
Okay.
What about her is not?
You know, it's hard to put my finger on other than everything.
Well, I'll tell you.
But I will say that I see her in movies and I find her compelling to watch.
Okay.
It might be because of the halo of light that she always puts herself around.
Yes, yes. It kind of lulls you into the sense of,
my God.
She's a siren. But right. By that, I mean like the villain from Batman. Like, you know, just like you can't look away.
I feel like no one's going to hear this, right? Because I feel like
no one listens to this.
For not liking her.
No. I'll tell you the reason why I don't like her. And it's not because I don't think she's talented. I mean, I think she's
absolutely talented.
I think she's flawless. And I think that's why she's boring. Like, I think I would love to see her like go up on her lines once or sort of be a human being. And I don't see humanity in her.
Yes. I feel like
there's always a halo around her. She's always in white with a white microphone.
I love how you're saying white.
And I'm doing this and that.
That's everything.
Play under right now. Let's put an H after white and just make you sound even more weevil.
That's wonderful.
Wonderful. But everything is that. Everything is like pristine. And please take them off. Right. Please go for it. You've had a day. That's why I'm not interested in her. Like I've always. That's why I've said like my diva is Diane Wiest because I'm like she's so flawed in the most beautiful broken human way, and that's what I'm more interested in. I don't care about some diva that's going to come out and just kill it and hit every note and be correct.
Right.
And I kind of criticize a lot of our gays that judge in that way that are very empirical in their way about like you know what I mean about like
yeah
I like it when someone misses a note. I like it when someone goes up on a I like when people are messy. I mean, I do too.
It connects me to them. I agree. And do you know the singer Brandi Carlile?
Yes. Yeah.
I love her voice because it's so raw and so beautiful. And I'm moved.
Right.
You know, because you can tell she's done a particular take and she printed the take.
Right.
Like, in spite of the flaws, maybe vocally, which of course, maybe you and I don't see that way. I just love that. It connects me to that.
And I feel like, and it's like I go back to my background in community theater in small town North Carolina. But I always loved the people who weren't the greatest singers who brought the performance.
Oh, then you'd love me. Because I do just all tap dancing and hand.
But you know, like to talk about, like you say, you don't like musicals. I don't like musicals where everyone's just dull and boring and perfect, and they've just clearly gotten out of conservatory, and they're hitting their marks, and they're doing everything exactly right, and that's just not interesting to me. Like I'm not held by that. And you know, it's like, I don't know, it's just a matter of taste.
I like Assassins or something. Like,
sure,
right?
I love
that
show.
It's sort of like weird and atonal, and the subject's really fucked up. And so stuff like that, it's like you almost can't sing it right because it's not even meant to be right.
And it is about, and it's meant to be broken. The whole point of it is you're watching like these, you know, this something that's alive in front of you that we're just not perfect as people. And so it's just annoying to watch somebody that's just like flawless, honey. I don't care. Who cares about that?
Yeah, I like the imperfections, but I'm that way with dating too. Like, I don't look at men, not to change subjects, but
No.
I don't look at people that are perfect, like with perfect abs and that do CrossFit.
Nope, me either.
I, if anything, I'm like, wow, I'm in so much admiration for that because I will never be that guy that wants to spend that much time. So I like the flaws. I had a little belly. That's all right.
Yeah.
You know, like, big nose. I love a big nose.
I love a big nose.
So
I know you too.
I think you've actually hit on it. And thank you, because I wasn't able to say why I don't like her.
I'll tell anybody why they don't like anything.
but it's very true. I think that's it. It's very managed.
You also like Stevie Nicks, who's also sort of like...
Yeah. Imperfect.
Yeah, exactly. Just a broken witch.
Yeah, just a broken witch.
Just
and thunder
give,
only
give her
happens
a,
when
a,
it's raining.
Cauldron with a crack down the middle and stir. Yeah.
Let's twirl on
just
our shafar.
Twirl away.
Oh my God. Yeah,
we both saw her in concert last year. Or two years ago.
Yeah.
I would love to see them in concert. I love
I met her actually.
You did?
Because I went with a couple of friends who, you know, were able to, because they're important.
Just say it, Jane Lynch and Becca Tobin.
Right, yeah. They're important and I'm not. And so we went backstage and I got to meet her, which was...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and she's about 4 feet tall.
Yeah,
I mean, she's a midget, or a little person.
Oh, my God. Paul, can I talk to you for a minute?
I'm sorry.
That word on every podcast we've done.
Oh, my God, I love it.
I had to know that.
She's
not supposed to say that, right?
Well, here's the thing.
I'm sorry.
She's not really a little person, so you can say she's a midget without insulting little people.
Right?
Exactly.
I mean, it'd be different if she was really a little
person.
She's
not an LP.
Tiny, but, and she's just
I don't think it's offensive to say, you know, oh, my God, she's a midget when they're not really.
Right.
I mean, not on my show. I'm sorry. There's got an issue with it.
I'm just not politically correct.
No, please.
Wait, can I ask you where in North Carolina you're from?
From outside of Charlotte.
Okay. I went to NC State for a year and
you
a half.
You did?
Yeah, that was terrible.
What?
It was terrible.
Yeah, that's, I can't imagine you there. It's
Raleigh.
Not,
oh, God.
No, Raleigh.
I just like
Raleigh's
made
fine,
a
but I just don't know that NC State is, yeah.
It was like racist. It was terrible. Like, it was like one of those things when you're 18, you're like, choose a place. And I was like, it's warm here. So I went and like 10 minutes in, I was like, this was a bad idea. And 18
But it's also
later,
like a pretty technical school too. I mean, it's not really.
Yeah, it has a really good like design school.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
And I wasn't a theater major then. I was like I'm looking at Paul like he knows. I was a communications major.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like one of those things where it's like, I'll choose this one.
Right.
How long were you there though?
I was there for 3 semesters.
Okay.
Oh, okay. But that was a long time. So, and you hated it the whole time?
Well, it took me a while. I was like, why am I throwing up every day? And then I was like,
bulimia,
it was the opposite of bulimia. No, I was just so it took me so long to figure out I was just so unhappy.
Well, also at that age, you don't really know that you have, don't know how you were at 18, but
I was an idiot.
I didn't know that I could drop out of school. I didn't know that I had freedom to do things like that. I was like kind of always, I just kind of followed the rules a lot.
Me too.
I went to Wake Forest, which is just down the street from NC State, and I loved Wake. I ended up loving it, but for all the weirdest reasons, and it should not have been where I went to school. I'm glad I went there.
Yeah, you should have gone to North Carolina School of the Arts.
I know, I was in the same, I mean, when I tell people I went to school at Winston-Salem, they assume I went to School of the Arts, and I don't know, I would have probably been a complete mess had I gone to School of the Arts, because I was not emotionally ready to go to a conservatory. And I needed to go to a smaller school where I was a little bit more nurtured and where I had to take like history classes and like do like the liberal arts thing. But it really doesn't make any sense why you make the decisions you do.
Right.
When
I should have just not gone. I should have just taken a year off and like figured my life out, and I probably would have like moved to LA or something.
Oh, a friend of mine has a kid who just graduated, and he's taking a year off from school to do like with a gap year thing, and he's traveling around Mexico.
He's
going
to work at the Gap?
All the kids
he's
going to
work
that.
At a Gap.
Okay. I think
various gaps
Malia,
around Southern California.
The Obama daughter is doing that. Malia?
Oh, yeah. That's so smart. It is so smart to do that. But that was never, I mean, if I had told my parents that I was going to do that, it would have been like, oh, he's gone. He's lost.
Yeah.
He's going to be on the streets in weeks. Like,
and
it's
also
like
community college was not an option then. Not where I grew up.
No, it was always
community what?
Community college. Like in California, the community colleges are really good.
That's where I went. I mean, I went to LA
here.
Valley
but
College.
But you're from the West Coast. Did you grow up on the East Coast?
Yeah, I grew up in Maryland.
See, that's I think it's an East Coast, West Coast thing. Because I think some of the smartest people I know out here didn't go to college or went to community college or have had such alternate you know, higher learning. And I think everyone I know on the East Coast was like, you went to a 4-year school or at least tried to.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, even if it's in, you know, and I grew up in North Carolina, so there are a lot of great universities there. So it was like, why leave the state? Because you, there are these great schools there. And so that was just kind of part of it. They were like, it was like, where are you going to go to college? It was the same as like, where do you go to church?
Yeah.
It was like, wait, you don't go to church? Was like, it was a huge deal if you didn't go to church, right, or if you didn't go to college.
Jew, but yeah.
You know, see that like, I grew up with no Jews. I didn't grow up with any Catholics.
I grew up with Jews because I lived in Tennessee for a while.
Oh, okay. Where in Tennessee?
Germantown.
Okay. Where is that?
Right on the outskirts of Memphis.
Okay.
And it was very church, very.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, what prompted you? Your family went from Tennessee to California.
My mom's a whore.
Okay, well,
my mom got remarried a few times.
That explains everything. Right? Exactly. Memphis to Burbank, right, whore.
Right, exactly. Yeah, she remarried a few times. So
okay.
The opportunity to move around. Uh-huh. Quite
loaded.
A bit.
That's such a loaded answer. Your dad still lives in Burbank, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So talk to us about Burbank High. What was this experience like?
You know, at the time, back in the 20s, when I went, it was very simple. Mm-hmm. Like being a gay, even though I wasn't out by any stretch of the imagination, being a gay guy in Burbank and having people kind of sense that you might be was really hard. So I worked, you know, I did theater, but, you know, it was all about sports. It was a little like Midwest feeling, mm-hmm, at the time. Mm-hmm. I don't think it is that way at all anymore. But at the time, it was very, you know, Lockheed, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, you know, middle income families. And so
it's still the Valley, you know, which is different from L.A. I mean, even though it's just over the hill, it is a different mindset. It's not sort of like...
Well, but I think it has evolved, though, don't you?
Oh, of course.
I mean,
I think
it's definitely evolved.
But everywhere
as
has.
We have. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think at the time, things were not evolved. Mm-hmm. So it was hard. And,
mm-hmm, and I think also you're just saying boring, because, I mean, even when it's
boring.
Not about sex and sexuality, it's about perspective and point of view. And when you're gay, you grow up, you're gay from when you're born. So the things you like and want to talk about, there's no one around you to talk about and experience. You know what I mean? So outside of sex, it's also like, who can I talk
connect
to about Linda Carter or whoever?
And I connected mostly at the time with women and, you know, uh-huh, who had like punky hair.
Of course.
Like, you know, wore
so much has changed.
Like, right?
We're looking
Kate
across
at
Kate,
hair,
who has this gorgeous punky blonde hair. So were you a fan of Susan Clark on Webster?
Who is? I don't even know.
The mom on Webster. She went through a punk phase.
Did she?
Mrs. Papadopoulos. She went through one season that she had like spiky hair and she wore leather jackets. And she's like, oh, hello, God, Webster. Amazing. I'm punk.
Webster.
You remember she had that little weird twill on her lip.
Watch Webster.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It was great.
I'm going to go binge watch it now.
I have the whole series on DVD. It's amazing. anyway, no, but I love that you're into like punky women. I get it.
Yeah.
Again, like, you're into women that have like lived.
Yeah, and that were smart and funny,
yep,
and
yep,
completely embracing of who they were and didn't kind of at the time this was, you know, revelatory on some, mm-hmm, level because they didn't fit into any particular,
yeah,
you know, mold. They were, mm-hmm, very individual and they weren't very popular. So
yeah,
it was,
I love,
know,
that.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it too. I, uh-huh, found it interesting. I used to hang out at this place called the Golden Mall.
The Golden Mall?
Yes.
What is that?
It's basically, well, it was, God.
I thought I knew everything about Burbank. I talk so much about Burbank on this show. I love it.
It was the street above where Bobby McGee's is that still there?
The bar?
Yeah.
Bobby McGee.
Which I opened. I was the opening crew of Bobby McGee's.
Really?
Yeah.
What street? Is it on San Fernando?
First.
Oh, I don't know.
So if you're at First Street and then you go up, there are all those theaters
though?
And everything. It was just an open mall. There wasn't a street you couldn't drive through. It was like an open pedestrian mall.
Okay, great.
So you'd go there after school and we'd smoke menthol cigarettes.
Yeah.
Maybe
cloves.
Newport.
And it was amazing. Yeah. We'd hang out and talk and write lyrics to songs that no doubt were the worst thing ever. And about death and suicide. I was so edgy. But I worked to talk. Bell. So then I throw on my brown polyester.
At the Golden Mall in Burbank, right. You're like, let's write about death and destruction.
Right. And, like, and then go sling some burritos, right?
Yeah. What a magical childhood I had. Lettuce and, beans. Oh my God, I love it. And then you went to community college, you said?
I did. This is embarrassing. I'm not that smart. I went for two classes.
I disagree.
Literally, and left.
Oh, well, you're California.
I didn't like school.
Yeah,
I don't like school.
I did it all, and I say this to him all the time. I did it all, and never has it helped me. I mean, I'm an actor, right? So no one has ever looked at my resume and been like, Shakespeare, Santa Cruz.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Like,
I know.
Nobody gives. In fact, they're like, you're old. You should move here sooner. You know what I mean?
Well, there is that sometimes. I mean, I do feel like in our business, like, they look at the resume and they're like, oh, you've done a lot.
Yeah.
As if, like,
I was having this conversation with my husband last night. I was like, should I take some of this stuff off my resume? Because A, it makes it look like filler, even though they're real credits.
Right. Yeah.
And B, it's like, does it just make me look like I've been out here doing B-team shit for 15 years?
Yeah, and I don't know if there's a right answer to that, because there's some people. I will say, in the play that I'm doing right now, I was so impressed with this theater company. They called and checked references on people's resumes, which I had not heard of before.
Really?
And it wasn't
the Celebration?
At Celebration Theater, yeah. And it wasn't, they weren't doing it to be like, are these people lying?
Are you kidding? Michael Shepard? It was too. I love you, Michael.
No, it was really about about working with them. It was like, what were they like to work with? We really liked them. We're interested because
that's amazing.
I said a lot with it, and I just said, I really want to work with good people. There are too many talented people in this town who are also really nice and easy to work with that we don't have to have any nightmares.
I stopped doing theater because of that.
Why a lot of people don't do theater in LA, especially because there are people out here that are just, that have no business doing theater, that are out here just for their own selfish desires, that have no love of doing theater,
right,
for the sake of doing theater. And yeah, it's great in LA. You do get seen and you do get TV and film jobs from doing theater sometimes, but a lot of times you don't. And you know, for me, when I'm mostly playing a lot of crazy, deranged, horrible women, it doesn't usually translate into a job.
Right.
You know, sometimes people go, oh, that's funny, and they'll, you know, but it doesn't always.
Well, maybe not indirectly, but you're so loved.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you, honey.
People, it's true. So I think it probably doesn't circuit.
Well, it's a thing where I know that. I'm just saying, like, if you're only doing theater to get seen, don't do theater.
Because
it's like, don't do theater with me because I'm not interested in it, you know. And so they really got an amazing cast of people and understudies. So there were 12 people on this thing with six cast and six understudies who are having the best time together. And we've been running, we're going to close next weekend on 11 weeks together. And it's like a family situation. Like, we are on top of each other in a tiny space. We've done 4 and 5 shows a week together. We've hung out outside of the theater. We go out after. Like, it would have been a completely different experience with one person who would have been awful.
Yeah.
You know, and they did check. And I was like really impressed by that because I never think they even care. I don't even think they even look at the resume. They kind of glance down.
Well, when you do regional theater, there's always, you're stuck. Like, I did Lake Tahoe Shakespeare Festival. You're stuck. Mm-hmm. I mean, we actually stayed on the California side and performed on the Nevada side, but there's nowhere to go. There's just like a couple of casinos, and everyone hangs out. Everyone lives together, works together, eats together. And there's always one bad apple, and it's like, ugh. And then you have to invite them.
Right. Of course you do.
You can't be like, hey, Johnny, you can't come.
Right. Exactly.
Even though no one wants him there.
It's really rough. And you've done a lot of Shakespeare?
I have. I love Shakespeare. I don't like the way people do Shakespeare in LA. I think they do it.
Yeah.
They don't do it.
In what way? I've talked about it here about, anyway, so go ahead.
Well, first of all, I think they make it pretentious, and it's why people don't like Shakespeare, because they think it's pretentious. And it's like, don't do the thing, don't play into the thing that people already, the perception is. And the other thing is, they do this thing where it's like, we're doing Romeo and Juliet under the sea or on the moon. And it's like, you don't actually need to do that. You don't even have to set it in Verona or wherever it is. Like, or I can't even remember where it is, but like, it's just a story about two people falling in love. Like, it's actually a really simple, beautiful story.
Right.
I would argue it's actually, I know it's done all the time, but it's done all the time because it's such a beautiful play.
It's a great play, yeah.
You don't need to make it. People always, because it's a film community town, people try to make it really theatrical.
That's also a college problem too. Like, every college wants to do, like, we're setting it in the Wild West, or we're setting it in, like, the Roaring Twenties or whatever, because it'll be fun for costumes, even when sometimes it's not at all justified in the
I think it can
play.
Work. Like, I did a reverse gender Taming of the Shrew, which I thought was brilliant. It was actually an hour-long tour in Santa Cruz. And then I also did a that Mel Brooks movie. Oh, fuck. Blazing Saddles.
I'm like literally going Spaceballs.
Young Frankenstein. But didn't you do Blazing Saddles?
He did. Yeah,
of course. That's like, one of my favorites. Blazing Saddles kind of thing that was.
Oh, that's fun. Really,
I can't remember the show, but yeah, it was great.
Well, you know, everything can work. That's the thing. If you have the right people behind it, you have the right conceptual, like, you know, a director who gets it and a cast that gets it. Anything can, because I've done every parody show, you know, in town for years, like, of, you know, this movie, you know, in the basement of a Mexican theater, and put on wigs and we're going to do this. And sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. And yeah, it requires a lot of different things. It's a lot harder than it looks because people think like, oh, we'll just throw these things in a blender and it'll just make sense. And it doesn't always.
Oh, no, in order to make it really sing like I think you guys do and your stuff, it's very specific.
Yeah. And you have to really believe it and you really have to like answer all those questions. I mean, another great thing about doing the Charles Bush play that I'm doing now is that Ryan Bergman, our director, was like, We did like a week of table work where we went through every line.
Yeah.
And it was like, why do we say that? Why did this character say this? And there were many times that I would say, I think this is just a joke. And he would go, maybe, but that's not a good enough answer. You have to come up with a reason why.
Yeah.
And I love that because it just made it a good show because we all know why we're saying everything. And there's not just a thing that's thrown away like, oh, we just think that's a joke. Or he wrote that in because it's funny. Because it's like, and a lot of people, I think, kind of skip over that and they just want to go to, how can we get a laugh here? And, or what's going to be the most edgy, out of the box.
Right.
We're going to set Hamlet in a motel room and only three people can see it at a time.
Yeah, like I saw Hamlet where he was like taking a shit with his big monologue. He was sitting on a toilet taking a shit.
Oh my God,
and I was just like,
I'm so bored.
What's the point? And it would have been great if it like brought any new insight to a monologue everyone knows.
And I won't.
No, it didn't. For the record.
Oh, I'm just always amazed at people that really have a passion for Shakespeare because I don't. And I've done it a bunch of times but I never care to do it again. And it's not because I don't like it, and maybe it is because it's in the Barbra Streisand category of like, oh, it's perfect or whatever. And
yeah,
you know, I just have like kind of trashier sensibilities.
Talk English.
I mean, thanks, Mama.
I wouldn't say that I have a passion for it. I did it because I got my card.
I think you feel pretty passionate. We've been talking about it for 30 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. No, and I think that's great. I mean, I think that's wonderful. I mean, I don't think it's like anything that's like, you know.
I'm not like Jones. You know, I used to go and see plays and I would leave and go, I could have played that role. And now I never leave a play. I do the movies all the time where I go, oh, I could have played that role. Mm-hmm. I never do that with plays. In fact, I go, I hope there's not an intermission because then I could just leave after.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? I hate a play with intermission because then I have to like suffer.
So you
suffer.
Haven't bought tickets to Drew's show
I was going
to
say, my play has an intermission.
I did see your last show, which was wonderful.
I did too.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bright colors, bold patterns.
Thank you. It was so fun. I'm planning to do it again soon.
It was really touching. I don't know. Thank you. Just like, you know, my perception of you is like you're a guy that works all the time and you're, you know, you were one of the teachers at Groundlings years ago when I was there. I wasn't in your class, but, and so I have this perception of you, right? And then, you know, I know you work for my husband, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I walked away and I was like, oh, he can really act. Like I was really touched.
Thank you.
I thought it was a really beautiful.
Oh, I wrote that because I knew nobody else would write that for me. Like, and I had something to say and I was really tired of the wigs and the glasses in the show. I wanted to say something. And I wanted to play like my dream role, which was the big, loud, gay, drunk mess that no one writes, no one puts on. I mean, talk about, I rarely go to a movie and see myself in anything. And I go, I don't see myself represented a lot. And I was like, well, you got to change that. I mean, I can sit and complain about that or cry in my, you know, corner about it. Or I can go, I'm just going to make
and
those
look,
parts.
Like that went to New York. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah,
so
well, thank you. It was one of those, you know, life highlights getting to do that show. And I'm definitely going back and doing it again. And,
oh, good.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah, it's not done.
It's the game now, though, I think, that you create what you want to be doing and you create your own work. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, it is. And it's like, and there's something so empowering about it. It's terrifying. It's exhausting. It's the worst because you're just like, the very first night you go up and you're like, I don't know if anybody is going to not only like it or not, but I don't know if they're even going to get it.
Yeah, or care.
I don't know if they're going to care.
Yeah.
What if they're just going to feel sorry for me up here? You know, you go through everything.
And it's just you.
And it's just
a one man show.
You know, your friends are, oh, Drew,
right,
you're amazing.
I know,
but then
I know.
When you get past grandma crowd and you get the real people paying the real bucks to sit and watch. Want you, and they're still laughing and cheering you on, and you're getting extended.
That was the most encouraging thing about doing it in New York was that it because of the I got really nice write ups in the Times and
you did
and in Time Out, and it attracted people that never would have come to see it. They didn't know me at all.
Well, and also
and
one
I got to
show.
Talk to a lot of. I know it sounds like oh God, come to this soul, but You know, thanks to Charles Isherwood at the Times and Adam Feldman at Time Out, they were like, they really liked it and they pushed it. And there were people that came, and I talked to people afterwards who were just like, I never would have come to see this, but I'm so glad. And they related to it on a different level. And that was really satisfying to me because I never thought that it would even appeal to, you know, 70-year-old Jewish couples that were going to, you know, that were going to come in, and they were like, oh, it was, you know, they wanted to talk to me about marriage and their experience with it. And
well, also,
like,
I don't
there's something so incredibly human about it that it doesn't surprise me that it would go beyond just gay.
I agree. And it was about friendship. I also, like, I don't know what the space looked like in New York, but in L.A., I mean, that's a small space. You were right. I mean, I could probably reach out and touch you if I wanted to. You know what I mean? So, like, you can really feel the room. It's not like performing for 150 people. You're like, well, I get an idea of the room, but I don't know. It's like,
well,
I can see your eyes.
Barrow Street in New York is 200 seats. And it was, it felt crazy intimate, though. It was really weird how every night felt different. And I think, too, because it is just me up there, and there's almost no, I mean, almost no sound cues except for the montage in the middle. And so, like, it's a show that I'm really, you know, very connected with people in. I'm sorry, everyone listening to this, you're like, you haven't seen the show, you don't even know. And I'm like, and then that moment and on page four when, oh, we won't spoil it, wait, I'm not doing it now, so you can't even do it now. So anyway, how fun is that? Well, I just want to talk to, I want to hear from both of you if you have any stories or revelations or anything minor, major, in between. Who wants to go first?
Ladies first.
You're such a gentleman.
Is he? I called that throwing me under the bus.
bing,
I don't know.
Bing,
I was like sort of thinking, there's a couple of things I could... I got a thing in the mail today that the IRS is saying that I owe $10,000 in back taxes.
What?
Which is why I went to Wendy's on the way here.
Oh, like, my God.
Is that a mistake?
It is a mistake. Okay. So I could talk about that. Or I could talk about...
Well, that's that. Okay, so we can just talk about that for a little bit. That's crazy.
So I think what happened was, it's actually not that interesting. I had a retirement account that I rolled over, and they thought I withdrew all the money. So they were trying to tax me on the withdrawal, which I think this is my, I know exactly what it is. But if I'm wrong, then I'm totally fucked. I don't have $10,000.
Well, who does? Just lying around to give to the IRS?
I mean, certainly not me. Well, I mean, I have a savings account, but it does not have $10,000
well,
in it.
Well, and, oh my God. So, but that's, it's just, it's got to be a...
But Drew, weren't you saying earlier that you socked some stuff away?
Yeah, do you have a penny jar with $10,000?
Wow, I really,
help her out
I'm really sorry I've ever said that, because I feel like I'm going to end up writing you guys a check that's going to bounce.
I prefer Venmo.
Okay, great.
And that just makes it easier.
Okay, great. Okay, good. Whatever's easy for you. Okay, great. Okay, good. Okay. So yeah, that's what it is, because you know it's a, you know...
I hope so.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. What a nightmare. It's just so scary to get that letter, though.
Yeah, well, I was like leaving the house and I saw this big, huge envelope from the IRS, and I just filed my taxes. I just got my returns, and it was so great this year. I actually got money back, and then I was like, oh, fuck. Are you kidding me? Of course. This is like exactly how it all works out as soon as you get your money back.
Right.
Like,
and they're like, we need more. So you're just a matter of like having to just, like, wait on a really long phone call and talk to somebody and be like,
yeah, and it's also just like my birthday's coming up, so I'm starting to have this like, I don't know if you guys do this around your birthday where you start like doing the like check of the year and being like,
not at all. I take no stock in that. Of course.
So my birthday's coming up and I'm getting it. I'm married, as you know, and I'm talking about having kids and like all that kind of stuff. And you go like, I can't even fucking do my taxes. How am I going to have a child?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
All those things start going through
your
head. And then also just being a woman in the industry, right? Like it takes you out for a little bit, although it's a very child-friendly industry.
It is.
Your body is part of your work. So to, you know, I can't just go in and be like, I'm going to play a detective. I'm 9 months pregnant.
Right. So yeah, exactly.
It's just, it just sort of like started the ball rolling of like.
It's got to be hard to like navigate when to do that too. When you're like, you've got to be doing it when you're like ready and also financial, but it's also like you have to
and
add.
And I don't have it. I don't have the thing. A lot of women are like, I just always knew. And I, you know, I thought I would have kids. I like kids. But like the older I get, I'm sort of like, I don't know. Like I don't have that thing that's like, oh, like the clock is ticking and I got to do it.
You know, it's funny because I remember when we first met, we talked about this and you had a little bit of that. It's waned as I've gotten to know you, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is I think I just have gotten like further along in my career, but I also am not, of course, I mean, none of us, I'm sure, in the place we thought we'd be or want to be.
Right.
And so it's like, I'm always sort of like,
I don't think that ever goes away for anybody.
I think that's the ultimate thing is like, it doesn't matter how much success you have. Yeah. You're always, I remember I was.
We've talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
It's like, no matter what, you're always going to find somebody that's doing, in your mind, better than you or
even
has it all together.
Even if you're like Jennifer Lawrence, you're like, oh, well, Emma Stone did 4 movies last year and I only did 2, or whatever. Like,
yeah,
you
exactly.
know what I mean?
Something that Jordan Black, who's done this show before, has always said a lot is, it's just something that I think is so wise. He's like, if Tom Cruise and Tom Hanks lived across the street from each other, you know, they could look across and one of them could say, oh my God, this guy is in his 50s and he still looks amazing. He does these huge action movies and he makes millions and millions and millions of dollars. He's still a movie star in his 50s. How does he do it? And then the other one can look across and go, oh my God, this guy has 2 Oscars. He has a really stable family. He's not in a crazy cult.
Yeah.
You know, and he's also known as like the nicest guy in the industry. How does he do it? Like,
yeah.
And the rest of the world goes, that's Tom Hanks. That's Tom Cruise. They both are, you know, huge winners.
Doing great.
So you can always do that. You can always be like, oh, am I, you know, you just have to know what's right for you. But I also think it's important to know, if you don't want a baby, then to say, I don't. I think that's actually brave because I think that we are so, you know, told, and especially, you know, straight women are told like, oh, well, you should want this, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a lot about what I talk about in my show to bring up my solo show again, is that like, you know, as gay people, we're, you know, we don't play by the rules and we have no rules and everything's we make our own path. And then, it's like with gay marriage coming in, it's like we're now told you should want to be married. You should want these things that straight people want. And I'm like, straight people shouldn't want those things if they don't want them. Like it should be a thing that you, you know, you have to find that from within. And if you don't have it, then, you know, great.
I know.
And if you have it later in life, then you have it later in life. I mean, it's like it is, you know.
The irony, though, I have to jump in, is that Kate and her husband TJ are both such awesome people. The irony is they would be wonderful parents.
Oh yeah, of course.
Thank you.
And they're both, of course, well, it's true.
It is true.
They're two people that I'd be like, oh my God, if I could go back and have you as my parents,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're both smart and loving and nurturing. And it's just interesting that I have found as I've gotten older, friends of mine that don't want to have kids sometimes are the people that I wish would have them as opposed
to
the others.
I have to tell you, I think about that because I'm like, there's all these people in Arkansas that are having 30 kids that are all going to turn out to be like racist homophobes.
Right.
And I feel a social responsibility to have one kid that's like, you know what? If you're trans, go for it.
Right,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right, right. Yeah.
And it's like, you know, although those kids are always born in Arkansas, they're never born in Germany, you know what I mean? But
the kids that are born here, the parents want them to be trans. Yeah. They're like, no, I'm cis, Mom. Please leave me alone.
Put on the dress and stop this shenanigans now.
I had friends that were like with their, you know, kid in the park and they were playing and then they saw these parents that were with the little boy and they were calling him, let's just say Lauren or something, or calling them a female's name, and they're like, oh, that's wonderful. And how long has Lauren been Lauren? And they're like, oh, just this week. And it's so like, you're like, okay, you know what? Maybe the kid is like, I'm a monster this week. I'm a rock this week. I'm Lauren next week.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, yeah, that's wonderful. But the parents are so encouraging to where they're like, it's so.
Honey, eat your kale. You can be whoever you want.
Exactly. You just can't drive through McDonald's or Wendy's.
How dare you?
Yeah. I know. But yeah, I know. That's so fun. But I know. I know. I hear you on the like social responsibility thing. But I also just think. There's something about that. I don't know. Have you seen that Tilda Swinton movie? We need to talk about Kevin.
Wait.
It's about this. Oh, he just. It's really about a very liberal, complicated woman that you love and hate at the same time, and you want her to. You know, and they have a baby, and they don't want the baby, and it's just the worst possible scenario that happens. And yeah, it's pretty bleak. But I don't know. But it's definitely you feel almost like they feel the need to have a baby is from that reason.
Well, also because, what I don't want is to regret something, right? Like you know, someone said to me like, you only regret the things you don't do, kind of thing. And I also like part of it is like, well, I always said that I would, because my dream was to get like to be a series regular on a show and then get pregnant, because it's like I'm already on the show. They can't fire me for getting pregnant.
Sure.
And I have everything in place. Well, that might never happen. You know what I mean? I mean.
But it's also like I think like, you know, sometimes we have these dreams because they just sound good.
Right.
And then it's like, but you're really, when you day to day, when you really get more and more specific about what your dreams are, that's more important. You know, I mean, I think it's like, yeah, we can all say those things because no one says, I really want to just audition for, you know,
forever,
guest stars and co-stars and get a couple a year and then just like in between that, you know, cry, you know, I mean, you know, or whatever. And that's not a bad life, but you know, or whatever. I don't know. But like you dream of these things that, and yeah, like on your series regular might come when you're in your 50s and then you might work on, you know, for 30 years after that, you know, or whatever. Like, so who knows when and what'll come. And so would you, you know, I get it. And the other thing too, is that nobody does it perfectly. Nobody does it like the right way. Like everybody makes mistakes and that's part of what we do, you know?
But there's like, no take backs. Like we have cats that we love, but like if something happened, we could take them to a shelter. You can't do that with kids.
No.
You know what I mean? Like
exactly.
It's
or cats. Don't do that with your cats either.
Oh my God. I would kill myself before I get rid of my cats.
Yeah, there's
I love
just
them
no,
so much.
Yeah, you can't do that with a cat. No. And, you know, if it's not a cat or a dog, fuck it. Birds, rabbits,
can
gerbils.
Can I take my kid to the shelter?
Please fuck it. Yeah, I throw them away. Anything but a cat or a dog. But cats and dogs are wonderful. I have a rule when I used to teach improv. I used to say, you can't abuse cats or dogs. I don't care about any other animal. Rip a bird apart, punch a monkey in the face. I don't care. But I was like, I mean, not really. But, you know, I just am like,
But
the thing is that so many people in scenes, they always want to start a scene where there's a dead dog. And I'm like, I can't watch that. I won't watch
that.
It's also not funny.
Yeah.
Number one, but it's also like, I won't because
what's the space work in that?
A lot of digging.
Oh, right. The shovel work?
They want a shovel.
Are you still teaching at Groundlings?
I'm not. I might go back soon, but I haven't taught this year. So I last year I just taught one class. I sub. I pop in and out.
You do. I have a horror story from Groundlings.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
Do you want to talk about it or no?
Maybe I won't say the person's name, but
I'd rather you not. Okay. Just for my own.
Well, I'll tell you all the people I loved. I had Carrie Syme, who was great, and Colleen Smith, who was wonderful.
Of course, wonderful.
And then for 301, I had someone else. And
you're already using a UCB term with 301, but I know what you mean.
Oh, sorry. Whatever.
Advanced or
whatever the third
or lab
version
or whatever. Sure.
I can't
sure.
remember what it was.
Yeah.
This was like at least 10 years ago, and at the end, you know, you have the little meeting and they tell you if you pass or not.
Uh-huh.
And the person said to me, I'm not going to pass you because you remind me of me.
Oh my God.
And, you know, those classes are like $450. That was my feedback. No, like, you know what? You could work on your space work or your characters. That was my feedback. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
That's insane.
Yeah.
Just because you remind me of me.
Mm-hmm.
I
never came back.
Because I
think it was like, I had some of the same bad habits as this person or something. I'm not sure.
Great.
And also tell me what they are. Like, you could work on this.
Right.
I went right over to UCB.
It's very hard because, you know, it sucks because it is people's experience as a place. It can come down to one person, you know, versus the whole ideology of a whole place. And I also just think you just have to believe you're going to end up at the best place you're going to end up. And I've gone all these other places and I only have taught at the Groundlings, but I've done a lot at UCB. I've performed there a lot in IO and Second City, and they're all great and fucked up in their own ways, and they
totally
all have a lot of problems, and you know, but you know, it is hard, you know, it's hard when you get feedback that you don't understand.
It's not useful. Yeah, it's not like
useful.
I can build on this. And I, you know, I actually found that UCB was better for me because it was more like start from your top of your intelligence, play yourself kind of thing.
Right.
And Groundlings,
and the Groundlings
is a lot more
like you don't be yourself, play a character.
Yeah.
Don't limit yourself to you.
And just wasn't really for me.
And that's the thing. And that's great to know that because that's the thing. There's no right answer to how you do it. Like, and that's people, I am so tired when people will stop me at a party or on Facebook Those are the two spots where people love to go. Hey, I just moved to town, or hey, I want to take an improv class. Where should I go? And I'm like,
there's
first of all,
43 places.
First of all, like, you take charge of your life, be an adult. I didn't ask anybody that when I started taking classes. I just went to a show at the Groundlings and I loved it, and I took classes there. And then, you know, so do your research. What do you like? Who are the actors that you really look, you know, that you admire? And then go to one, and if you don't like it, go somewhere else.
Totally.
Or don't do it. Like, there's no answer, but I think people want a quick, you know.
I also think that they think, oh, well, if I just do Groundlings, I'll get on SNL. And it's like,
right.
there's a lot of people. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
that's
Jordan
a terrible,
Black.
You know,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, there are plenty of amazing people that don't do that. But, anyway, it's not helpful. I also try really hard as a teacher, because I have a lot of students that have come through that remind me of me in different ways. But I'll be like, oh my God, I have the same problems. But I try to not say that, because I think it comes off a little like creepy, like you remind me of me when I was at that stage in my, or something.
Yeah.
And I don't think it is not useful to them either.
It's also narcissism.
It is narcissism. That's the other one I was going to say, that it's like, it's putting my own experience onto theirs and sort of forcing them to, you know, and I don't know, I really don't care if they're a fan of me or my work. You know, I'm there to help them. So when I say you remind me of me, it's like, if I'm expecting them to take that as a compliment, that's disgusting. If they're offended by that, then that's problematic. Like, there's kind of no good in that. Other than, I get it when you're saying like, oh my God, I had the same issues. I was always too big, or I was always, you know, I wasn't listening, or whatever it is. But,
and that can be a conversation, but to even bring yourself into it, it feels
it's
a little
about
bit like
you.
It's about you.
Right.
Yeah. And that being said, I had a ton of great teachers at Groundlings. Mm-hmm. That was just one bad experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it really did teach me, like, oh, this is not the style for me. This SNL style is not for me.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's good to know. It's good to know. Yeah. Paul.
I turned down SNL. You know?
You turn it down every year, don't you?
I do.
He's like, Lauren,
you know,
stop
I've
calling
got
me.
Things going on. And I just felt
here
like,
in Burbank.
You know, here in Burbank.
So. We have this podcast, number one. So
exactly.
why go
I have
do
tires
SNL?
To change.
I get it. I totally
hikes
get
to.
It.
Hikes to do. CrossFit.
I know. I get
CrossFit.
It. I totally get it. Yeah.
He's never done another CrossFit. Thing. He's never done it once.
Never. And I won't.
No, I haven't either. Yeah, but what's, tell me a story. Tell me about what a.
Other than my Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
Reveal.
I don't know.
God, Kate's was so good. So I'm going to go. It was great because it was really heartfelt. And so I steal napkins.
You do?
I do.
From restaurants?
Anywhere.
Cloth napkins?
No, I just have never bought napkins. I won't ever. You'll never see me at Smart and Final or Costco buying a big thing of napkins.
That is true. You
have
napkins with logos on them at your house.
Wow.
So if you come over to my house.
You have like all these
like,
mismatched.
Paul, can I please have a napkin?
Sure.
It'll say Chipotle.
Or Wendy's.
Or Wendy's. Because I
just
grabbed a
ones.
Stack. It's a thing. And you know what? I learned it from my step monster.
Wow.
She used to do that.
And she wasn't even poor.
No.
I know.
No, but it's just a thing where, you know, I get
but
it. Where you're
so
like,
I'm a little bit of a napkin klepto.
Uh-huh. I'm like a little napkin hoarder. Do you take utensils and packets
Drew,
of sauce?
Come on. No. Of course
no.
I don't do
okay.
that. Let's
okay.
not do that. No. I take sauces, you
uh-huh.
know, or I save them. I have
uh-huh.
a little baggie.
Sure.
I'm a Virgo, so I when I have things like that, I save them and I put them in a little baggie.
Wow.
So that I have, just in case.
Right.
I run out
I need
of
soy
Taco
sauce.
Bell hot sauce.
Oh, the most delicious of flavors possible.
I have no business being this old and being alive with the way I
say that to him all the time. And he's thin. He eats like a
you
monster.
You are really thin. I know. Yeah, I know. That's just,
CrossFit,
I know.
CrossFit, you know.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. No, it's like
What's
proof that it doesn't matter what, you know, doesn't matter what you do. You can eat Wendy's and Taco Bell a day and still look
do
like
polo. Do they
call
the gym at CrossFit their box? I'm going to the box.
Why?
I don't know. I don't do CrossFit. I just have a friend who does.
The box?
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm going, like, you know, me and the people in my box, we're working out.
Oh, is it like your group?
God, I just want to
like,
stab
are you?
I don't know.
Oh my God! Well, it's a whole culture. They've built a whole. It's a whole business. It's an you know. And so, of course, they would have terminology, because
it's,
just
yeah.
like
got,
anywhere
yeah.
else, they like you have to learn your terms.
It's all
and it's part of the,
although he's gay and not bro-y, but I don't know. Although he's getting a little more bro-y since he's been going there.
See,
he
there
wears
you
a
go.
Lot of like tank tops that scoop real low on the side. He's not listening. I hope.
Okay. Well.
Well, you didn't say his name, so we're good.
Exactly. You're holding up a sign with his name on it right
Does
now.
Does that
so we
count? Is that good as my revelation? What? Are you?
Yeah, no, I think it's good. I would love to like figure out what that's about. Like you just. I just want to know how many different kinds of napkins do you have?
Well, Drew. It really just anywhere I go.
Mm-hmm.
I just did it last week. I went to Chipotle.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a handful of napkins.
Do you keep them in your car? Because I do that.
I do.
Because that's always helpful.
I do. Because sometimes you need to wipe something up.
Right. And in our worlds, we're always in our car.
Yep.
And
exactly.
I have so many water bottles and napkins in
right.
my car.
And I'll have friends say, oh, shoot, I spilled it. And I'm like, don't worry.
Don't worry.
I've got you covered.
Pick your fast food of
Here's
choice.
Here's a McDonald's napkin. It's like sandpaper.
Who do you think has the best napkins?
That's the habit.
The hamburger habit?
No, is it the hamburger habit? Yes, it's the hamburger place, but the
okay.
habit.
Oh, it's softer. Just called the habit. That's right. Hamburger Hamlet was
yeah,
that other
right.
place.
That's another place.
Yeah, right. So the habit, I think they're like.
They have the best napkins.
Everyone that is tuned out.
They have an excellent burger, though. Their burgers are incredible. Way better than In-N-Out.
Really? Well,
they
see,
are. Yeah,
see there you go.
There.
Did you ever feel though that like you're like I mean not to get all psychology and like that you were gonna go without or like it was a time where you were like you really have to hold or was it just a thing where you're you said you learned from your yeah. from your stepmother was
you know,
it like
I'm sure that there you know I'm not wealthy but I'm not a pauper so mm-hmm. but I think you're right it probably is a sense of like make sure that you're you know, that you have the, but I could buy them. I can afford
well,
to buy
them. Yeah, of course. It's
so
just a thing.
It's just become a thing and uh-huh. a habit because I watched my parents do that
right.
and kind of, sorry, hoard certain things.
Yeah,
so
sure.
It's behavior that after hearing myself actually out loud talking mm-hmm. about it, I feel like I'm going to go buy napkins and throw away all the ones I've stolen because
I mean, I think that's kind of smart, actually.
It's good to just know like what those things are because
I hate waste. So like I drink
napkins.
Water from the tap and uh-huh. I don't do laundry until I have enough for like, you know, fairly decent
yeah,
size.
Yeah, yeah.
So part of it is that like I don't want to just go and buy napkins. He's already here. It's just, I mean, I'm stealing. So it,
but yes and no, but it's also like,
stealing.
No, but these giant companies that are going to, you know, it's like, they're not going to miss these napkins and you're just like, you know,
and I reuse, like if I get a Diet Coke or something, let's say from 7-Eleven,
uh-huh.
I keep the cup.
Wow.
Do the refill because it's another plastic cup that I don't want to put out into the environment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's good.
And I recycle
that's
everything.
Only good.
So part of this is, all joking aside, part of it is recycling.
Well, I know, I always steal pens. Like I'm notorious for lifting pens. And I always have several pens on me. At any time I'm feeling around going, I actually maybe don't have one on me now, but I will always grab them. And I think mine is the opposite from growing up and my family never had pens anywhere. Like you would go, I would like be taking a message on the phone and like I would dig through drawers and there'd be everything in the drawer but pens.
Like string.
And I would fly into a rage because for me in my high school, you know, I'd be like, no one writes, no one creates. This family is just about, you know, consuming and no one wants to like put anything out there, you know? And so, and I went to that place. And so I have a lot of pens and I always will take them and steal them for that reason. And I think that's what it is. Because I'm like, I always want to have a pen on me. Even though now, you know, we take notes on our phone, we do everything like that. But
there's still nothing like writing something down.
I know.
That's
I have
great.
To write things down. I really, you know, up until just a few years ago, I always had a paper calendar that I wrote all my appointments in. And I like to just, you know, I'm a big writer in that sense. And I have a hard time on Twitter. I don't use abbreviations of words. I have a hard time with all that because I like to use it and express it in that way. And I just, my family just didn't ever find that important. Like, you know, language and writing was not what, you know, my brother does, but like my parents were just never into, you know.
But that's funny that you got, you and your brother, you said, both kind of went the other way.
Yeah.
So your
yeah,
parents
yeah, yeah.
weren't those
my
types.
Mom was like, my mom was a huge reader. Like she loved reading, but it was just, there was something about, I don't know why they just didn't see any sense in like, ever having somebody to write something down with. And I thought that was so essential. Like they had everything else. So it wasn't like, I was like, you're making a choice not to have pens
Were
around.
They expressive people?
Yes, in different ways. My mom is an art major and she was my mom still is very crafty and she's an interior designer and she's always in the interior and like, she sells rugs and lamps and accessories. And so she's very artsy in that way.
She sells that she makes?
No, no. She works for, like, right now she has like a line of rugs and picture frames and accessories and stuff that she sells, and lamps and stuff. But she used to make a lot of stuff around the house, and then she used to be an interior designer and would go into, you know, people's homes and, you know.
Now, do you have that skill? Or you
none of it? I have none of that.
Isn't that so interesting? Yeah, my dad has a PhD in economics. Like, we could not be, and he, you know, he really enjoys art, but he doesn't quite, well, and he's supportive, but doesn't quite get it. Like, they,
it's
very,
very
literal.
Strange what happened, because my dad sold furniture forever. And, you know, so my dad was in the furniture business. My mom, so they were very much about, like, they Sunday afternoons, they wanted to go drive around and look at houses being built. They would walk through, like, you know, houses under construction, and they loved to look at floor plans. And so they were really into architecture and art in that way. And, like, you know, that was always a big part of growing up. They loved furniture and they loved design. And none of that really appeals to me that much. I wish it did. I mean, I can look at things.
Do you like going to
know,
open houses, though?
No, because I go back to my childhood and I'm, like, so bored when I look at that.
That's how I feel about camping. I'm like, I don't want to do that again.
My apartment, I still have boxes of things up against walls. I have not hung pictures. I lived there for 2 years. I haven't painted the walls. And I have an adorable ish place. I mean, it has potential to be really cute.
If you moved in, actually.
If I actually moved in. And I just don't. I just don't care. It's not even like from any sort of place of just like, oh,
your parents
doesn't that drive you crazy, though, if you look, if you're sitting watching TV and you see a box? That
I don't have
you?
A TV.
I would, I'd rip my face off.
Oh, I just don't care. It doesn't.
Really?
I'm never home. And when I am home, I'm just like, I love the quiet and the downtime. And I just, it. Now, I want that. I know that I would enjoy things even more if I, so
but
I can
do
understand
you,
why.
You're saying it,
I
you
was
don't
gonna
care.
Say, yeah.
It's
well,
okay. Like maybe you just
if
don't.
If you really cared, you'd do it.
Well, and maybe it's to your point of like wanting to have a kid and like society telling you should want that. I think that, I definitely think what would happen was, would be that I would have people over more, and I would probably decline a lot of going out opportunities and a lot of bullshit show opportunities that I really don't have to be doing. You know, and I love going out at night and having things to do every night, and I do almost every night. So when I have one random night alone home, I'm so happy. I could just do nothing. So the last thing I want to do is be spending time in my house working on
decorating.
Things. If someone did it for me, I would be thrilled.
Why
and be
your
happy.
Is your mom still alive?
She is, yeah.
Why does she come to town and do it?
She wants to, and she's always threatened to do
oh,
it. She's
you should
always
have
like,
her
she would drive her crazy if she came to my place. She would just be like, "What are you doing? Why are you?" You know,
just
go, so close
go
to
away.
So
you come stay with me. I have a spare bed.
Well, thank you.
Bedroom, so you can.
No, I mean,
and
I
have
and also have real. I have good friends that are interior designers in town who I could just hire to do my place. Yeah. You know, and I just don't put that energy into doing that, and so. Yeah,
I understand that, though. Like, I recently was given some furniture that, you know, my furniture was fine. And Kate, I mean, has seen my house and it's nice. It's, you know, quaint. But someone gave me furniture that's really nice. Mm-hmm. So now I'm loving it. And I go thrift store shopping, trying to find great pieces from mid-century. Mm-hmm. And so now I've gotten really into it. But I used to not be into it, kind of like you. I was like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Everything's like kind of beige and white.
Right.
And it looks nice and I'm pretty neat. So.
But you also don't entertain at all.
No, because it's so much work.
Yeah.
If I had a partner, like if I had a boyfriend that was into it, I would do it.
We entertain so much.
I would be into it.
That's how I would do. I would feel that way too.
And I would help and I'll do the dishes. I'll help set up. I'll do anything. I just don't want to organize it.
Well, and also we're the only a couple, we have a lot of married couple friends, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. we're the only ones that own a home. So, and we have this really beautiful backyard that we were on one of those like makeover TV shows for our backyard, and we have a full bar back there. So we entertain a lot. Like we just had Passover. We had 17 people over for Passover.
Oh my God.
And that's, you know, we did 3 days of cooking. Like
yeah.
cooking matzo ball
yeah.
soup for 17 people.
Oh my
that's
God,
probably
that's
a lot of fun when you're like something like that sounds really fun. If you yeah. have a lot of people that can kind of contribute in the kitchen.
Well, it was just me and my mom.
And none of them are me.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's just a lot of setup, a lot of cleanup, a lot.
Yeah.
Of, it is fun,
yeah.
but it. I get it. It's
yeah.
a lot of
it's a lot.
Stuff.
But
it's
you
a lot
don't
of
have
stuff.
People over, Drew?
No, I don't. And it's a lot of it is because I don't have time, and I'm, you know, I'm trying to carve out more. You know, I mean, I love going out. I'm very social. It's not like I don't, you know, but I just. it's just, there's never a time when I'm like, you know, for the other thing too, when you have people over, usually it's on the weekends and I always have a show.
Right.
And so I'm like going and doing a show, or when I'm not doing, I'm in rehearsals or something, or I'm just exhausted. And the last thing I want to do is
come
planning.
Over at 2 a.m.
Yeah. It makes everything, you know, it's like, and that's the same with dating too. I'm just like, when am I going to have time? It's not like I don't want to, but I'm just like, I don't know when I have time and energy. And if like, when I, if I want to go out after a show, I really want to go out with friends. I don't want to be going on a date at 11 o'clock pulling makeup
but now
off
would
my
you,
face.
But would you want to have a boyfriend?
Yes, I
okay,
do.
So,
Paul,
but
do you want a boyfriend?
I put no.
Sure.
But I put no effort into it.
Wow.
Well,
the other
I know.
Thing. Sounds
I mean,
like Paul.
Yeah. It's very much the same. So Kate always said, like, do you really want that? Because I don't know.
I know.
I mean,
anymore.
Also, Paul has, I mean, you've lived alone. When did you and Michael break up?
Oh, God. I mean...
10 years ago or something?
10 years ago, yeah.
No.
So he's lived alone for 10 years.
Yeah.
And you've had a
but
couple...
But I
same here,
I also love living alone.
I know.
Me too.
That's
like,
what I'm
when
saying.
When my last
that's
boyfriend
not very
moved
inviting.
In with me, I was like, why don't you have that bedroom and I'll have this bedroom? And he... His head exploded. He's like, well, then we're just roommates. So I'm like, well, no, we can spend every night if we want in the same bed, but I want you to have your private mm-hmm. kind of sanctum, and I frankly want mine.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think
that's healthy. I think that's really healthy.
Really?
I do.
I think
it's important.
Like slightly
I think it's
cold.
Well, it depends
Danish,
on.
You know?
It depends on. Yes.
Yes.
It depends on the setup of the relationship and what's going to make you happy, because it would be a real transition for me if I was like on top of somebody all the time at all moments. I would be getting housebroken would be really hard for me. I need my space. I need my time when I don't have to talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, between doing, you know, my life, when I have a day off and people are like, let's get to lunch. I'm like, that's not a day off. I'm no offense to anybody. I love everybody that, you know, but I don't love everybody. Who am I kidding? But, but, I really want a day where I don't talk to anyone, or I'm going to go, or like an afternoon where I can go to a movie by myself.
I
love going to dinner by myself. And
oh,
so
we both just came.
Alone time
that's
is really
best.
Important. You
especially
know?
Like movies alone.
And, oh, the greatest.
Love
and so
it.
I just don't know that. So for me, I think that's just great. And I've also said, I only want somebody who's as busy as I am, you know, at least at times, because I don't want a shadow. I don't want somebody that's there all the time, and I don't want to be anybody's shadow. I don't
right, it's
want
just not
that.
As interesting.
It's not. And so
and I felt like I also wanted a little bit of that romance too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to hear you snore. I don't want you to hear me snore, or if I, you know, like, and I know that's just life and that's probably, you know, a myopic point of view, but I just kind of feel like having some separation is
mm-hmm.
is really nice, because then when
also,
you're spending the time,
that's what works for you. That's what's honest. That's what's
to.
That's what's real for you.
Yeah,
and you being honest with yourself and with your partner. For somebody else, that would be a nightmare. And that's for them. You know what I mean? Like, there's no right answer.
Yeah, because the opposite of that is like, for me, it's like I like the safety and security of like, no, I pee with the door open. Like I farted on like the second date. Like I wasn't, you know, like this is who I am.
Right,
like
right,
you
right,
can't
right,
ever
yeah.
look back and be like, you were so nice to me, you cooked for me. And I'm like, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Although I do those things, but like.
Well, and I love that. That's one of the reasons I think Kate and I really bonded initially when we met, was because we're both that way. We're both kind of the filters off.
Yeah.
We just are who we are.
Right.
And some people may like that, and some people may
want
to murder us.
Yeah.
But I loved that about you, that you were someone that I think you did fart probably the second time I was.
Yeah. Well, I am Jewish. I have a very bad stomach.
Well, it's important to fart. I mean, don't hold
it's
in.
Human,
it's
know?
Only human. Well, you guys have an amazing web series together, because we're at end of time, but I want to talk about your show really quickly. You're on this great web series called Dropping the Soap. Where can we find it?
It's on Amazon. It's probably the best place to find it. But it's
also iTunes if you don't have it.
Yeah, okay,
iTunes,
great.
So Amazon,
iTunes or Amazon.
Amazon.
It's hilarious because it's behind the scenes of a soap opera, which I'm going to talk about in my intro, but it reminds me of Soap Dish, which is one of my favorite mm-hmm. movies of all time. But I don't really know anything else that really sort of, you know, hit that. And that movie was 25 years ago.
At least.
But that really like sort of explores the world. What inspired you to do that for that world?
Well, we both and our co-creator Mandy Fabian, we all at some point really were into soaps. But I actually was taking a nap one day and I remember someone saying to me, write what you know. Mm-hmm. And I got my SAG card as an actor doing an under five, as it was called then, mm-hmm. on General Hospital. And I always, you know, as a kid growing up, it was
who did you play on General Hospital?
I don't think
waiter
I had a
number
name.
Two or something?
Probably like guy. I remember I had leather fringe boots.
Oh my God, I love
yeah, with the jeans tucked in.
Yes, okay. Yes. And you were a waiter?
No. Oh. She was being funny.
Oh, okay.
I was a guest on a show called The Colton Connection.
Okay.
And Robin Bernard was singing, and Colton Shore was, he was like a inspirational
So you were supposed to be like a musician or something?
No. I was like a guest on the show. I mean, we're going back a long time.
Yeah.
Was I a guest on the show, or was I an audience member or a fan? Something.
Okay.
Anyway, it wasn't that interesting, but I always kind of had an affinity for soaps growing up because it was a way to escape.
Sure.
And it was fun.
What were your favorite soaps?
General Hospital.
Okay. Yeah.
So I remember
Luke
running
and Laura.
Home. Yeah, yeah. And I've told this before. You know, running home to see the last 15 minutes of the episode.
Because it was always on at 3 o'clock, right?
It was, well, in Tennessee, it was 2 to 3, and we got out of school at 2:30.
Okay.
And that's when I started when I was living back in the South. Mm-hmm. And so we'd get out of school at 2:30, and I'd run home.
Well, oh,
I also didn't want to get beat up, but I would run home to see the last 15 minutes of General Hospital.
Well, I remember, if I remember correctly, because my mom was obsessed with All My Children, which was, I think, on at 1, and then One Life to Live was on at 2, and then General Hospital was on at 3.
In L.A., yes.
Okay, well, that was... North Carolina, I guess, what it would have been. I think that was a schedule, but it may have been an hour earlier. Maybe I don't know. But that was the order.
Right.
It was always like we watched
All My Children
was number one, and then One Life to Live usually, and then occasionally we watched General Hospital. My mom was still in the mood to still watching the shows. Yeah.
Oh God. I love
But I mean, I grew up with Erica Kane and Adam and Spencer. What was his twin brother's name?
All my children.
It was what's his name? David Canary.
He was so good.
He was wonderful, and he played twins. He was Adam, was really evil, and then he played.
Right. Yeah, I can't remember the other one's name.
I want to say it was like Spencer or whoever's listening. Please help me out because I don't Google anything on this show.
And
he had messy hair. That meant he and like a Cosby sweater. That meant he was the nice one.
Right. Do you remember? This is going way back. Francesca James.
No.
She played Kitty on All My Children.
Oh.
And I was like, I mean, I was a
I remember Phoebe, because Phoebe had like a consignment shop. And she was like a big, loud woman. She, you know, big bubble hair.
I vaguely remember that, right.
And I remember, of course, Dorothy Lyman, who was Opal Sue.
Yes.
Opal Sue Gardner, because she was like a gossip. And Carol Burnett came on the show.
Yes,
and it was amazing. It was amazing. And Susan
and that
Lucci was
incredible.
The golden
age, wasn't it?
The 80s,
I think.
Yeah.
And when you and I, we're probably similar, close in age, and growing up, and it was really fun.
Oh, my God, the greatest.
And it was when they were kind of at their heyday. So for me, that was kind of why I came up with the idea for Dropping the Soap, because I thought, I love behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah.
I love watching interviews of people that I find interesting, or the making of... fill in the blank.
Yeah.
You know, as
a little
boy, I would read any book that was the making of a movie, making of Gone with the Wind, making of Wizard of Oz, whatever.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I'm going to put this together and it's going to be behind the scenes of a failing soap opera.
Right, right.
And it was at a time when we first started talking about doing this a few years ago, because it's been a few years in the making, you know, soaps were getting canceled and people were losing their livelihood.
Right,
so we wanted to kind of just do a fun workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Comedy.
Oh, it's so fun. You guys are both hilarious on the show, too. I mean, Kate, did you grow up loving soaps, too? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I watched Days of Our Lives growing up, and I got into General Hospital
Deirdre Hall?
In college.
Was Deirdre Hall in Days, or is she...
I don't know.
Young and the Restless.
I don't know.
Deirdre,
I watched it when I was in seventh
Days
grade.
Of Our Lives. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know any of their real names. I really remember General Hospital a lot better, because my three roommates in college got
Marlena,
watched it.
Marlena, I think,
it.
Is Deirdre Hall.
Yeah, Marlena. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Marlena.
And also, Days of Our Lives also had the
Hope and Beau.
The woman that played like 12 characters. And her name, Eileen Davidson. She's amazing.
So
and she played like a million people. She was like, Christian. She'd be like a real like country woman. She's like, Christian. And she had like Austin Powers teeth in. And she'd be like a man.
Oh,
she was like a weird brother.
I remember seeing.
Who was like a warlock or something. I don't know. Yeah.
But where else can you get those opportunities?
You just,
well,
I mean,
Passions. I don't know if you guys remember. When I was
Passions,
in college, General Hospital had Passions on after it for a couple of years.
And I think
there was like there was the well.
Like
there was like a genie in a well in Passions.
There was a little like devil. There was like a little, I don't know.
There was a little person.
A little person.
But he was evil.
With Juliette Mills, right?
Is that yes, Juliette Mills.
He had like powers.
Maxwell Caulfield's wife.
She was like a British Stevie Nicks.
Yes, yes,
except
of course.
Not. And then,
sure.
I mean, but there was some good, I mean, I've said this a million times, but like Amber Tamblyn was on at the late 90s and it was such a good storyline.
Oh, 8 million, you know, it's like always, I love the stories that people that have, because I remember Sarah Michelle Gellar from All My Children, because she was Erica Kane's daughter. And, you know, there's so many that you're like, oh my God, they were from blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, a lot
I've always
of
admired that. I've never done a soap.
Me neither.
I've never been on a set of a soap.
Oh, really?
No.
It's
I would
really
love to go. I would love to do, you know, and I have friends that, you know, have done it. I know Alec Mappa just did one recently. He posted on Facebook, I'm doing such and such soap this week or something. And it'd be so fun to do. I think it would be a blast.
Yeah, I haven't been on, I mean, I keep saying to my friend Nadia, who's on, who plays Chloe, Nadia Bjorlund, who plays Chloe on Days of Our Lives. And is in our show. She's the one who replaces her.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Meaning Kate, for those of you that can't see me pointing. But she's awesome. And I'm like, you've got to invite me. I want to come and watch you shoot Days and have lunch.
And they shoot like 30 pages a day and it goes so fast. And it's like
crazy.
Stuff.
And then they go down for a period. Like they'll shoot for a while, I think. And then they take a break, like a little hiatus, because they're doing what they can financially to just keep the show going and make it affordable and keep their actors without, you know, changing their salaries too much, and to keep them going. So they're doing whatever they can as far as sacrifice to do that.
So fascinating. So not the world of Soap Dish anymore. You know, I mean, where those people were such stars.
Yeah.
Right.
And now it's like these, you know, equally talented people who deserve to be equally lauded.
Well, they're going
who are
online,
just,
right? Like the, right. So Drew and I were just at this award ceremony, which by the way, he won best supporting, best actor.
Guest actor on your husband's show hashtag adulting. Yeah. Yeah, check it out.
That's Ben Bauer's show, right?
Ben Bauer's show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's Tawny Tormé. They have he's great on show. Yes, and so it's a show called Hashtag Adulting.
We were laughing.
Directed by T.J. Marchbank.
That's my husband. And so we were laughing at everyone in the audience. And then Drew won, and he came back, and he goes, this is the best award show I've ever been to. But I was bringing it up because the woman from The Bay with the short red hair. Oh, what's her
name? Carolyn Hennessy.
Yeah.
Who I love.
Yeah.
She came to the screening. She's lovely.
Yeah, she was there.
She's got it. You've got to have her on this because she's
so funny.
She's done a lot of the soaps before, and she's done every guest star and everything. And she's also in a movie that I'm in called You're Killing Me, which is also really fun. And if you haven't seen that, check that out because it's great. And Carolyn plays this ice queen, mother of a serial killer, and when I read the script, I was like, this is Carolyn Hennessy. And so I was like, you guys, and then, so they cast her. So I was so, so proud of my casting. And that, you know,
that's great. She's so pretty.
She's gorgeous.
She's pretty funny.
She's hilarious. Yeah. She's hilarious. And just like from another era that I want to live in, but I don't know what era it is.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just this other time, like almost like a fairy tale world that Carolyn lives in that I kind of
love.
Well,
I want you and Carolyn both if we do a season two.
Oh my God, please.
I mean, I already told you that before.
I would love to. Anything.
You'd be great.
Let me know. I would love to do it. I would love to.
It would
scratch my itch to be on a soap. I can say, well, I kind of was.
Yeah.
Collided lives.
I was on Dropping the Zone. Well, you guys, we're out of time, so sadly. Thank you all so much for coming on the show. You don't have to stop talking. Both of you just went and just stared at me like I was done.
Shut down.
Oh my God, I know. Oh my God. Thank you guys so much for coming and doing this. I want to thank Paul Whitten and Kate Mines. Check out Dropping the Soap on Amazon or iTunes and have yourself a week of delight. Goodbye.
CrossFit. Feral Audio.